Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading, My Adoptive Family Has Been Great Growing Up, But I Swear They're Hiding Something. This is by Kid Nightmares from Reddit. I hope you enjoy this story. Let me know what you thought and maybe share it with a friend that you think would enjoy it. Let's get started. I never did find out what happened to my mother. In fact, I've never met her. Soon after my birth, I was taken into care by another woman who I assumed to be my biological mother, all the way up until I was 5 years old. This woman wasn't my blood mother, but she was so caring and nurturing that she provided the emotional warmth of any good mom. My childhood with her consisted of nothing but great memories. After my fifth birthday, she started telling me about my biological mother. She said that my mother was homeless and just showed up at her doorstep one night. "I'm sure your mommy was a good woman," she started, "but she didn't have a house to keep you in." 5-year-old me was transfixed on my adoptive mother as she told me this. "She couldn't just keep you anymore, and the wintertime was harsh. She lost her job and didn't have any money, so she left you with me." There were a lot of unanswered questions, but my adoptive mother kept the story simple and straightforward, easy for my childlike mind to comprehend and understand. She went into more detail on the story as I got older. "I just happened to be sitting here in the living room one night. Your Uncle Teddy was sitting across from me. We both heard someone knocking on the door, and when Teddy went to open it, there was a very young, petite, and beautiful woman on our porch. When she described my mother to me, I couldn't help but to feel pure joy on the inside." "How young was she? Like in her teens? 20s? I asked, excited. "You know, she very well could have been within that age range. She may have been anywhere from her late teens to her 30s, actually, but I do know she was young enough to face the struggles of having no money to support herself and a child alone," she explained. "What's her name?" I asked. Janice Edwards. From there, she went on to fill in just about all the details I've been itching to hear for years at that point. First thing we noticed was the baby she was holding. My adoptive mother gave me a heartwarming smile as she pointed a finger at me. It was January in the middle of winter, but she was just standing outside with only a thin flannel shirt, no jacket. She was shivering from head to toe as she held you in her arms. It looked like she used the jacket she was wearing to wrap you up and keep you warm. She continued to comfort me with her smile. That kept me consoled while listening to this otherwise sad story. It was obvious that this woman was in great need, but I still asked if she was okay anyways. Of course, she shook her head no. That's when Teddy led her in and seated her on the couch. I gave her some hot chocolate and threw a warm blanket around her. "Then she had a long talk with me and your Uncle Teddy," she explained. "What did she tell you?" "As I already suspected, she was at a really low point in her life. The place she was working at was already on the verge of permanently closing down, and they had to cut her pay a lot, as they could no longer afford the wage they paid before. When they eventually did close the company down, she stayed with many relatives for months until they got tired of her and ended up abandoning her." My adoptive mother's smile was no longer enough to stop me from becoming teary-eyed. "Then where is she now? Where has she been all this time?" My voice was quivering. My adoptive mother walked over to me and embraced me into her arms before saying, "I hate to have to tell you. I don't know. When your Uncle Teddy and I went to the kitchen, we heard the front door pry open. She was gone when we went back to the living room. She also left you lying on our sofa." She hugged me tighter, then kissed me on the forehead. "Your mother just wanted you to live a good life. She didn't want you to spend your childhood in a hassle, constantly struggling beside her. So please don't resent her. She would have been a great mother if the circumstances were better." I didn't know how to feel at the moment. I didn't resent my mother at all. I just wanted to see her face and hug her like I was my adoptive mother at that moment. But the following morning, I woke up and saw a note that's been slid beneath the front door. It was from her. She said she was leaving the area for a while, but if we decide to keep you, she'll be back to pay you a visit, or at least see if you're still around. She didn't say when, but she said she'll eventually return for sure, she finished. Although most of what she told me should have made me feel down, that last part cheered me up for the rest of the day. for every year from then on. The fact that I was actually going to see my birth mother later on down the line filled me with unlimited hope. And ever since that day, I always came home after school asking, "Did she come? Is she here?" The answer was always no, unfortunately. Sometimes I didn't want to ask simply because I was afraid of hearing no, as it would result in me being down again. But I never gave up hope. A few years had passed by, and I was still returning home, asking if my birth mother made the visit. It was always at the back of my mind. Often I'd be out and think, "I wonder if she's at the house waiting for me." Overall, I often find it hard to recall a single moment in which there was bad tension between my adoptive mother and I, even during my teenage years. When I was young, she never threw birthday parties or allowed me to have any friends over, though I had many. But she still made sure I was happy when my birthday did come around, celebrating it in ways she knew would leave me satisfied. My birthday celebrations typically consisted of more simple pleasures, along the lines of going to see the most recent superhero movie, or going to the yearly carnival that always seemed to start around my birthday. Other times I'd do some outdoor activities with my uncle, Teddy. Even though I was happy enough with this, I secretly still craved some social interaction with my friends outside of school. I always wondered why she insisted that I avoid this. My uncle Teddy has been around since I was born, as far as I know. He lived with my adoptive mother and I. He's never been married, and I don't think I've ever seen him go on a date or be with a woman at all. Teddy spent most of his time outside, out in the more wooded areas, either fishing or camping. Sometimes he'd choose a spot out there and set up some camping gear, staying for 2 or 3 nights at a time. This was routine, and usually he did it twice a month. Often when he returned, it was in the middle of the night. When I was younger, I would be awakened by the sound of the door opening downstairs. Then I'd go rushing down to greet and hug him quietly. "Does Teresa know you're up?" he once whispered, giving me a wide grin, knowing what would happen if my adoptive mother caught me wandering the house in the middle of the night. He started taking me with him on his short camping trips when I reached middle school. But of course, I couldn't always straddle along with him every time, as he did this year round. It was probably every other month when I went with him, but during the summer it was more often. I loved Uncle Teddy. Besides my adoptive mother, he was another joy to be around, except he wasn't my blessing to loosen up and break some of the rules my adoptive mother had put in place. Since I wasn't allowed to spend any time with friends, I hung out with Teddy whenever I wanted to have some fun. He allowed me to do many things my adoptive mother wouldn't from time to time, especially when I got older in my teenage years. Thanks to him, I was frequently sneaking out, roaming the woods with him at night. Usually, he started a fire for us to sit around, and then we'd just chill and enjoy the stars. It was during one of these times when he gave me my first beer at 16. As he chugged a can of beer down, he picked up the 6-pack and handed them to me. Confused, I gave him a "what am I supposed to do with this" look. He grinned. "Come on, I don't have anything else for us to drink anyways," he said. I glanced at the beers in my hand, then back at him again before popping one of the cans open. He giggled before saying, "You tell, I'll kick your ass." I awakened in our tent one morning, only to find that Uncle Teddy was gone. His sleeping bag was abandoned, opened, and lying amongst the scattered clutter in his area. This was typical. I was usually a later sleeper than he was, and he often liked to start off his mornings fishing by the lake. I usually didn't follow behind him until about an hour after I woke up, but that morning I decided to choke down some of the canned food we brought and snatch my fishing pole right away. When I reached the lake, Uncle Teddy was nowhere to be seen either. All I saw was his fishing pole lying at the edge of the lake, along with his water bottle and pail of bait. He also had his chair sitting nearby. After scanning my surroundings in an attempt to spot Uncle Teddy, I finally did. He was standing in the front of the hospital that sat many yards away from the lake. I was a bit confused. We've been fishing at this lake for years and have never paid that hospital any mind, despite it being right next to us. I often forget that the hospital exists. What was even more strange was the fact that he was talking to a young woman. I wasn't sure, but it looked like he was flirting. Whatever it was they were discussing seemed to bring a lot of laughter out of both of them. The sight of this caused me to grin. The grin faded when the young woman turned around and revealed her baby bump. I drew my binoculars and zoomed in on the two to confirm what I suspected. Yeah, she was pregnant. Several minutes passed by, but Uncle Teddy and the young woman continued to mingle. I anticipated the moment he walked away, ready to ask him about her. But every time I glanced in their direction, they were still talking. When he finally did return, I was so caught up in fishing, I didn't notice that he was on his way back. "Well, I guess you've decided to be an early bird today." I turned and saw Uncle Teddy heading towards his chair. He picked up his fishing pole and began attaching his bait to the hook. "Who's the chick?" I asked, that same grin from before spreading across my face. There was a pause. I slowly turned my head to face him, only to find him giving me a cold stare. "Now don't get any funny ideas. It's just someone I saw that needed help," Uncle Teddy explained. "When did you see her?" He threw his fishing line out into the water before saying, "It was a couple months ago. I was out here by myself one weekend, and I just so happened to see a woman reaching towards the ground for something. I used my binoculars to get a closer look. It looked like she dropped her purse with a few other bags, but she couldn't reach down and grab them because she's pregnant." He reeled in his line. "So I ran over and helped her. I picked up her things and walked her to her car. She thanked me and then asked where I came from because she knew I wasn't in the parking lot at first. I told her that I've been coming out here for a few years to fish and camp. And from there, we started talking about one thing after another. We've been talking ever since. Every time I see her walk out of the building, I run over to chat with her." Uncle Teddy finished. My grin turned into a full smile. "You've been talking to her for months?" I said. He glanced at me quickly before gazing out at the lake again. "You know how long she's been pregnant?" I asked. "When I first ran into her, she said she was 5 months. As her due date gets closer, it seems like she visits the maternity ward more often. The baby could be born any day or week now." I put my fishing pole down before asking, "Where's the father of the child? Shouldn't that dude be up here supporting her?" "She hasn't said anything about him yet. I don't even think he's around anymore," Uncle Teddy replied.
So you want to play stepdad?"
I joked, starting to giggle. Uncle Teddy couldn't help but to laugh.
"Come on, really, it's nothing. I'm just a stranger keeping her company through a pregnancy."
We fished all the way up until the afternoon, leaving with a decent amount of fish to cook throughout the week. When nighttime fell, I started a campfire for us to sit around. As I stared at the flames burning away in front of me, I started thinking about my mother again.
"You think she finally came today?" I asked Uncle Teddy out of the blue, breaking the silence between us.
He sighed before taking a puff of his cigarette.
"Don't worry, Donald. Vanish probably just wants to make sure she's together before she comes along. She'll be through here eventually, I promise," Uncle Teddy assured.
Hearing this brightened up my mood for the rest of the night, but eventually I had to remind myself. Hearing Uncle Teddy and my adoptive mother constantly say things like this always made me feel better, but the feelings were always temporary. A few hours later, we decided to head back home, as we had already been at the camping spot for 3 days. It was 12 o'clock in the morning when we headed back, and all I thought about on the way home was the possibility of my mother waiting for me upon arrival, although I felt it was unlucky. Unfortunately, I found I was right as we pulled into the driveway. There was a woman patiently waiting on the porch, wrapped in a house robe, taking swigs of a lit cigarette. Disappointment showered me when I saw that it was no one other than my adoptive mother. Uncle Teddy glanced over and saw the expression on my face. It was obvious to him what was going on in my mind. He patted me on the shoulder a few times before bringing the truck to a complete stop and cutting the engine.
"You want to start taking the equipment down to the basement?" Uncle Teddy asked.
I hopped out of the passenger side without answering and grabbed our fishing poles from the back, along with our bags and a few other things. My adoptive mother greeted me with a smile and a kiss before I went into the house.
"Had fun?"
She playfully pinched my cheek. I nodded my head yes and returned a quick smile. I headed down to the basement as soon as I went in. First thing I did was place our fishing poles on the rack hanging on the wall. As I spun around, I bumped into an old shelf, then a few books toppled to the floor. I dropped the other things I was holding and kneeled down to pick one of them up, and that's when I saw the words, "Beloved Memories," written across the front cover on a piece of masking tape. The book was very thin. It didn't contain a whole lot of pages. There couldn't be more than 10 pages in total. Beloved memories? I whispered to myself before opening the book. The first thing I see is two large pictures of a couple individuals I couldn't recognize. The one on the left was a young male, while the other on the right was a young female. The female's picture was in black and white. Their ages were written beneath their photos. They were both 18, at least at the time the pictures were taken. I flipped to the next page and saw several smaller pictures of children that were much younger. It took a second for me to notice that all the pictures on the page were of the same child, a little boy. Some were just standard elementary school pictures, while others were pictures of him playing outside or doing other random tasks. I saw a photo of him in a birthday hat blowing out a candle on a cake. There didn't appear to be any other children in the picture. Then I saw another photo of this mystery male child holding a marshmallow over a campfire. I didn't see anyone else in that picture with him either. As soon as I saw that picture of the boy as an older child, I flipped back to the first page a few times, only to slowly come to the realization that this little boy was the young 18-year-old on the first page. Soon afterwards, I spotted a photo of him as a newborn. I couldn't even see who it was holding the baby, but there was a date written below the photo, 1987. Confused, I flipped to the next page and saw something that caused me to pause for seconds. There were multiple photos of my adoptive mother and Uncle Teddy with this little boy, holding him, playing around with him, and having the time of their lives, faces lit up in glee. Uncle Teddy had the little boy sitting in front of him on a four-wheeler. They were both turned towards the camera with wide smiles. The little boy couldn't be more than 6 years old at the time. In another photo, my adoptive mother was lying across a bed, while the little boy was crawling on top of her, laughing mischievously. I flipped to the next page. There were photos of a little girl now. All of hers were similar to the young boy's. Lots of elementary school photos, along with baby pictures and child silliness. These pictures were also in black and white. I flipped back to the first page again, only to discover that, of course, the little girl turned out to be the young female I saw when first opening the book. Some of the dates labeled below her pictures were anywhere from the late 60s to the early 70s. What had me confused the most was the background of these photos. The surroundings didn't look familiar to me at all. It looked like this all took place in a different house, maybe even a different city and state. This was odd to me because my adoptive mother always told me that they lived in this house all their lives. Also, they've never mentioned any other children besides me. What was up with this? Flipping through the rest of the book allowed me to see many memories of adolescence. There were several photos of the much older, man-like boy with Uncle Teddy. There were many photos of them around a campfire, laughing and enjoying themselves. I saw a picture of the boy standing in the woods with a shotgun, holding it across his chest. My guess was that Uncle Teddy was behind the camera. The woman-like girl took many black and white photos with my adoptive mother, who almost looked like a teenager herself. In a lot of the pictures, the girl was posing for the camera, in different dresses. In another photo, my adoptive mother was hugging the older girl tightly. The more I flipped, the mystery girl and boy looked more and more like their pictures on the first page. I found it odd that there weren't any prom pictures in the mix. But then I remembered my adoptive mother didn't allow me to go to prom. She never explained why. Started to head back upstairs with the book still in my hands, making my way halfway up the stairs until I heard whispering. My adoptive mother and Uncle Teddy were discussing something, but I couldn't make out everything they were saying as they were speaking so low. I still stopped and quietly eavesdropped anyway. I could have sworn I heard things like, "She still goes to the hospital. How long before the baby?" And, "Any day now." When they saw me come out of the basement, they both stopped whispering, then turned their heads towards me. Uncle Teddy chuckled. "Oh, sorry, I came in talking to your mother and didn't even bother to help," he said, stepping away from my adoptive mother. He paused when he saw me holding the book. His smile faded, and his expression became blank. My adoptive mother's face went from mildly tense to bewildered. "Why?" I said, eyeing them both. My adoptive mother forced a smile. "Nothing, sweetie," she said, coming in my direction. "You two just finish unloading the truck." Before she dashed upstairs, she made sure to snatch that photo book out of my hands. I walked past Uncle Teddy out the door. The way he eyeballed me on the way out sent shivers down my spine. Over the next few months, we were deeper into the spring. The temperature outside was gradually rising, which was great for our camping trips. The weather encouraged Uncle Teddy and I to visit the spot a few more times than usual during the month. But I started to sense something wasn't right. During that month, I felt some awkward tension in the air hanging out with Uncle Teddy. I just didn't feel comfortable. The vibe wasn't there anymore, as Uncle Teddy's usual laid-back and relaxed aura seemed to be missing. We still talked and laughed like always, but there were more awkward pauses. Sometimes Uncle Teddy zoned out and was so focused on his tasks that I swore he forgot I was there, but then it hit me. I thought about how him and my adoptive mother acted when they saw me come out of the basement with that book. I didn't understand why they were being so funny about some pictures. I mean, I saw the pictures and there was nothing weird in them, so what was the big deal? There was even a subtle change in my adoptive mother. Her typical affection and emotional warmth started to not feel so genuine. More of her smiles and greetings came off as forced. To me, it was like she was faking it, and now had to try hard to show me the adoptive mother she had on display all my life. To make things even stranger, neither one of them said anything else about the photos until a few weeks after the incident. Uncle Teddy was the one to attempt to clarify things during one of our trips. We were by the lake fishing once again when he randomly brought it up. He told me that the memories I saw in the book was of him and my adoptive mother visiting another family member. The children I saw were their cousins, Bonnie and Blake. "This was before we got you," he said. Now, this explanation may seem somewhat reasonable on the surface, and I might have believed it fully if it weren't for how they acted about the whole thing. What was up with the change in their behavior? Why did they stay silent about it for weeks before explaining, like it was something serious they had to prepare for? When I tried to bring up my birth mother at this moment, he was no longer empathetic like before. The first second I mentioned her, I thought I heard him sigh as if he was annoyed. The look on his face screamed, "Would you shut up about her already? She'll get here when she gets here." Instead, he replied, saying, "Donald, I know Janice desperately wants to see you just as much as you would like to see her, but we need to give her time." At the moment, this slightly frustrated me. I was getting really tired of hearing answers like that. She abandoned me, then ghosted me for almost 18 years now. What exactly was she waiting on? The Uncle Teddy I knew always came back to life every time he spotted the pregnant woman in the front of the hospital. Every time we went fishing, he always grabbed his binoculars and glanced in the direction of the hospital every half hour, looking out for her. He managed to catch her almost every morning we went fishing. As soon as he saw her coming out of those doors, he right away sat his fishing pole on the ground and went dashing across the field towards her. I'd always grab my binoculars and zoom in on the two of them as soon as Uncle Teddy reached her. The woman often came out rubbing her huge baby bump. Then Uncle Teddy usually greeted her with a hug. She happily returned him hugs, seemingly glad to see him. One time he kneeled down and put his ear up to her stomach. "He's definitely trying to hook up with this pregnant chick," I mumbled to myself, giggling. Uncle Teddy didn't hesitate to open up to the pregnant woman, unlike his interactions with me as of late. All of their encounters usually lasted from 25 minutes to half an hour. He was really getting to know this woman. When he turned and saw me watching him, he started pointing in my direction while mouthing something to her. She started waving at me with a wide smile. I forced a smile of my own and gladly waved back. When Uncle Teddy and I returned home from one of our trips on one particular night, I was unaware of the exciting news I'd get. We were pulling into the driveway and my adoptive mother was waiting on the porch once again. Then she came rushing over to the passenger side of the truck before we even came to a full stop. Now with a genuinely happy smile plastered across her face, she opened the door and nearly yanked me out of my seat, right away hugging me while saying, "She came! She came!" I knew what she was talking about right away. I was so stunned by excitement that I barely believed it. What? I stammered. Is she in the house?" She didn't answer, as she was too busy hyping me up while leading me to the front door. Unfortunately, my mother was not in the house. But she did show up earlier searching for me. Apparently, my mother came a few hours prior, around 6 or 7 o'clock. "She's still a beautiful young woman. She's barely aged," my adoptive mother adored. My adoptive mother invited her in, and they talked. She asked her many questions related to where she's been and what she's been doing all the time. In the middle of the conversation, my adoptive mother got the idea to surprise me with my mother's arrival. So they tried to wait around until we returned. Problem was, my mother was currently living at a homeless shelter, and everyone living there was expected to be back at a certain time. Otherwise, they risked losing their spot and being kicked out for the night. Although my mind and soul was racing with joy, the logical part of me was still somewhat active. Still homeless after almost 20 years? As my adoptive mother sat and told me these things, I couldn't help but to internally ask questions. At the same time, I didn't want to risk ruining an exciting moment such as this one, or seeming less excited than I really was. I mean, after so many years of yearning for her, I was actually about to see her. "I told you she'd get around to you eventually," Uncle Teddy said, giving me a smirk. Both Uncle Teddy and my adoptive mother suggested that I visit the homeless shelter on the following day to see my mother. After talking to my adoptive mother for hours about this, I went to bed, barely able to sleep as I was too excited. The following morning, I was surprised to see that my adoptive mother and Uncle Teddy were already up, getting prepared to leave. Uncle Teddy was hauling some things from the basement out to his truck, while my adoptive mother was in the closet of her bedroom, rummaging around for God knows what. I thought they were planning on going to the shelter with me, but when I got dressed and told them I was ready when they were, I was surprised to find out they weren't going, at least not right away. "Teddy and I have some errands to run, and we'll start by pawning some of this stuff we never use. We'll meet you there. We won't be long," my adoptive mother explained. She told me to take the bus there, and advised me to leave a little earlier than them because they were still loading the truck with items. I honestly preferred if we all presented ourselves to my mother at the same time, as I figured it would have been the perfect reunion, but I was too excited to care much or to protest. I was finally about to meet my birth mother, and that was all that was on my mind. I walked to the bus station and caught a bus that took a route including the name of the street I saved in my phone. When I got off the bus, I knew right away which building I should have been heading towards, indicated by the small line of people standing outside. I rushed across the street and barged through the double doors that were located not too far away from the line. Then I made my way down the brightly lit hallway towards the front desk, where there was an older woman standing behind it. I told her I was there to visit a woman named Janice Edwards. She did some searching on her computer, then looked up at me with a blank expression.
It doesn't look like there's anyone here with that name.
Puzzled, I asked.
You sure? Could you check again?
She did just that and then looked up at me again, shaking her head. The results were the same. I pressured her to check a few more times, but nothing changed. Now, confused as all hell, I stepped outside and dialed my adoptive mother's number to see if there was something I did wrong. Maybe I visited the wrong shelter or something, but when I dialed her number, I got no answer. I dialed her number a few more times, and still nothing. So I tried Uncle Teddy. He wasn't answering his phone either.
Damn!
I yelled in frustration. One of the homeless guys lying on the sidewalk turned and looked up at me. After standing there for about 20 more minutes and still not being able to reach my adoptive mother or Uncle Teddy, I decided to take a bus to that hospital near the lake where we went fishing. They never did say exactly where else they were going, and being as desperate as I was for answers, figured maybe they stopped there or at least in our camping area for some particular reason. When the bus stopped in front of the hospital, I hopped off and dialed my adoptive mother's number again as I rushed past the building and towards the lake. As I got close to the body of water, it looked like there was something floating at the edge. When my call went to voicemail once again, I hung up and shoved the phone into my pocket. There was something red radiating from whatever it was in the water, and that's when my heart started racing. The sudden adrenaline pushed me even closer to the lake. It looked like a person floating. Upon reaching the lake, I almost let out a scream as it appeared that the thing in the water was exactly what I thought it was. A dead person floating sideways. It appeared to be a female, judging by the petite body and long hair floating on the surface of the water. The body rolled over a bit, only to reveal a torn and mutilated stomach. This young woman's stomach had been split wide open, allowing many blood vessels and reproductive organs to sprawl amidst the murky red cloud enveloping her body. When I thought I saw an umbilical cord floating amongst the bloody cloud, I realized that this woman had been pregnant. Someone took her baby. I saw her face and thought that this woman looked familiar. As soon as I realized who it was, my canceled scream came to resurface. I drew my cell phone and dialed 911 while running back towards the hospital. I caught everyone's attention the second I ran into the hospital, yelling into my phone, giving the dispatcher on the other end all the details I could gather. The woman behind the desk came running towards me right away, assuming I was hurt and in need of care. Her expression of panic turned to pure fear when I told them what was floating in the lake outside. I heard a few people in the waiting room become alarmed. Then several nurses from the maternity ward came flooding into the area soon afterwards. They all listened to me describe the woman floating in the lake, and within seconds many of them were able to create a mental picture. Lisa! That name quickly made its way through the small group of nurses. Many of them started sobbing when I told them the baby was torn from her. It was the pregnant woman Uncle Teddy had mingled with for months. According to some of the nurses, her due date was very close, likely weeks away. The fact that she was so close to giving birth after many months of anticipation made the situation much more devastating. The police arrived in no time. As soon as they came, I directed them to the body and ran back into the building. I couldn't lay eyes on that scene again. After having some words with the hospital staff, I was taken back to the police station for questioning. They asked me where my parents were. I told them my guardian was my adoptive mother and that my uncle lived with us. I let them know that I didn't know where they were, as I had constantly been trying to reach them with no luck. One of the detectives dialed my adoptive mother's number. Then he tried reaching Uncle Teddy. Neither one of them answered, even after calling several times. Where did both of you go? I thought. After reaching them by phone had failed, the detectives asked for my address. The one questioning me sent someone else to give my house a visit. Soon, that detective got a call and was informed that my house was on fire. When he got off the phone and told me the news, I broke down. What the hell is going on today? I sobbed. The detective walked over to console me. Despite my emotional state at the moment, he asked me a few more questions. So what brought you to the hospital in the first place? I told him about me going to the homeless shelter to find my biological mother, and how the lady at the desk said she didn't find anyone with the given name in the system. Then I let him know that I went to the lake to find my adoptive mother and Uncle Teddy, as I couldn't get an answer from either of them. He asked them what my biological mother's name was. Janice Edwards? I sobbed. He stood up out of his chair and walked out, leaving me in the room alone. I sat there for about an hour, stuck with nothing but my thoughts. The detective came back and peeped through the cracked door every 20 minutes to check on me. He finally returned, opening the door fully with a sigh of disappointment. The look on his face caused my heart to start racing again, as I knew more bad news was coming. We called that homeless shelter you visited, and they indeed had no records of any Janice Edwards staying there, he started. And after a deep search through many databases, it's only rational to conclude that a woman named Janice Edwards in this township never existed. And that's the end of the story. Let me know what you thought of it in the comments below. If you're anywhere else and you can't do that, well, I hope you enjoyed it. This nice little story that is told by an actual real human boy and not an AI. So for that, I think you should like the video. Subscribe for more non-AI stories as well. And a huge shout out to my patrons for helping make this episode possible. The people that have stuck around for as long as they have, I really appreciate it. And if you're listening and you're a patron, I really do appreciate it. It really warms my heart that you are so generous. And thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed your stay here. Take care now. Bye-bye then.